This is a podcast from the Queen City Podcast Network.
For more than 2 years, we've been living with COVID-19. Not only are we learning to live with that virus, we're still living with other sicknesses too. As we head into the winter months, public health officials have also expressed concern about the spread of RSV and the flu. We are asking, what do we need to do to protect ourselves?
That fear, that horrible flu that we might see someday, is still out there.
This is WBTV's Good Question. We are joined now by Patty Olinger, Executive Director of the Global BioRisk Advisory Council. Patty, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Important discussion to be had here, but wanted to first ask you just a little bit about your background and what you do with the Global BioRisk Advisory Council.
So I'm the executive director of the council. We're a division of ISSA, which is the world-leading trade association for the cleaning industry. I've been with ISSA for about 3 years, and prior to that, I was in research administration at Emory University, and I was the head of all environmental health and safety. Prior to that, I was in the pharmaceutical industry, again, with the health and safety. But my specialty is actually biorisk management, and have been involved with the development of international standards on biorisk management for years. And so this is something that I have a true passion for.
Absolutely. I was looking at your bio, and I believe you were working with, you know, the Ebola scare that we had a few years back, right?
Yeah, I was part of Team Ebola at Emory, where, you know, we received the first two Ebola patients. We had four during 2014, but yeah, that was an interesting time.
I was about to say, I don't want to dive too deep into that, but I am curious, you know, what was your role when all of that was happening?
So I led the EHS, but the biosafety and the environmental side of things. And so, you know, making sure that the physicians and the nursing staff were well protected, and that we were disinfecting, and that we were disposing of any waste that was coming out of that unit properly and, you know, sanitized, disinfected, and eventually incinerated.
Gotcha. Well, today I wanted to ask you about the sicknesses that folks across the country are going to be experiencing as we head into the winter months. And obviously, COVID-19 is still with us. We have flu season ramping up, and RSV has seemed to gain some traction this year. We know all of these are sicknesses, but I wanted to see if you could first kind of break down what the differences are for each of these.
So we kind of know, you know, really what are, well, we know all of these now. We're familiar with them, but this is the first winter that we've really started seeing all of them kind of converging together. So flu, you know, it's a respiratory virus, but we can also get it from touching a surface and touching our eyes, our nose, and a mouth that's contaminated. Same with RSV. RSV is something that in the past we'd think of, you know, our kids go to school and they come back with an, you know, respiratory infection, and even older, you know, individuals will get it. And I mean, we can all get it, but again, you can get it by touching a surface and touching, you know, your eyes, nose, and mouth, or, and also that airborne. COVID, we're very familiar with. A lot of the symptoms that all of them present are very similar. You know, we've heard it before. It has flu-like symptoms. And that's what confuses a lot of people. I think the scare that we're seeing right now is that both RSV and flu we're seeing earlier than what normally we would see. So normally you see that peak between December and February, but we're seeing cases really going up, and especially in those pediatric numbers. And they're, you know, a lot of hospitals are reporting that their pediatric, you know, wards are starting to fill up with these upper respiratory conditions.
Absolutely. Any idea why, you know, this year we're seeing some of these cases rise earlier in the season?
You know, from what everybody's saying, we're really not sure. I think that, you know, part of it is that over the last couple of years, you know, we've been, you know, wearing a mask. We've really been paying attention to hand hygiene. We've done a better job of cleaning and sanitizing, especially those touch points that people touch all the time, doorknobs and railings and that, you know, tables. We've kind of relaxed on all that. And so as we're heading into the season, you know, it's likely that unless we step back and say, you know, remind people of hand hygiene, get your vaccinations where you can. Right now, you can only get it for flu and COVID. And really pay attention to, are you at risk? Are you a higher risk individual? Do you have family members that are higher risk? And do you need to make sure that you're protecting, you know, those most vulnerable?
Absolutely. I don't know if you can compare in this way, but which is the most contagious of the three, COVID, flu, and RSV?
You know, I think that would be up to debate. It depends upon the strain of each one of them from that standpoint.
And which is the most serious if you contract it? Is that the same thing? It depends on the strain?
Yeah, I mean, the fear has always been that, you know, we were going to see a flu that was just unbelievably, you know, had a high lethality rate. And, you know, instead, we ended up, you know, seeing that first pandemic that everybody was predicting we would get with a novel coronavirus. And, you know, that fear that, you know, that horrible flu that we might see someday is still out there. And that's why, you know, when we talk about it, everybody is ready to be done. I mean, we're ready to be able to move on with our life and not have to worry about this anymore. But the fact is that we're seeing, you know, it's kind of convergent of everything. You've got, you know, climate issues. You've got people move much more often as far as we can travel so quickly. And we're seeing that infectious diseases can really go from one part of the world to another very, you know, within a day. And with that, we need to be much more vigilant than we've ever been before.
You mentioned that we're seeing RSV and flu kind of peak a little bit earlier. Do you know how bad or have any idea how bad it could get this winter? Or do you think we'll level off here?
What people are really concerned about is because we're seeing this early peak and I'll have to say, I have both of my sons are surgeons. One of them is in Texas and I talked to him and he's actually doing a rotation right now in a peds hospital. And I said to him, I said, are you seeing large numbers? And he said, yeah, he said, all the hospitals here are almost at capacity with, you know, pediatric cases, which is impacting on other services as well. And so we are seeing those numbers go up and it is concerning because it's like, if the peak is normally between December and February, what's it going to look like during that time? There was a school system on the East Coast that had to shut down because of, you know, a flu outbreak within the school just this last week. And so we're seeing those numbers inch up. And so, again, it's really important that we get our boosters, our flu shots, and go back to hand hygiene and you know, making sure that our schools are paying attention to indoor air quality, as well as a good program for cleaning and disinfecting.
When it comes to these three, the big three, I guess we could say COVID, flu, and RSV, is it usually the folks who are most vulnerable for all sicknesses that are going to be most vulnerable for all three of these?
Sure. I mean that's one of those things that, you know, when you go into a situation, you really don't know if the individual sitting next to you, you know, what let's say if they're immunocompromised or not. Mm-hmm. And even some of the children that are there, you don't know if they have, you know, an underlying medical condition or if their family at home has an underlying medical condition that could be, that they could have problems with if they become ill. So it's a respect for everybody else and, you know, protection of each other.
Absolutely. You mentioned your son working, you know, with the peds patients. I've got a one-year-old at home and, you know, we have to take him to daycare because both me and my wife work. Is there anything that parents can do for the little ones to try and better protect them?
You know, that's a really good question because the littler they are, the harder you can't really teach them,
exactly.
You know, wash your hands, don't touch your face. I think that, you know, those daycare centers really need to pay attention to what they're doing as far as that infection prevention. The indoor air quality issues are really key. Having a policy in place of if someone is ill, you know, to stay home. And the other thing is how they're, you know, cleaning and disinfecting. And, you know, a lot of places, they don't want to hear that disinfecting word because they're afraid that there's a chemistry involved with it. But there are some really safe chemicals out there now. And if nothing, you know, if there was a silver lining out of the pandemic, those were really brought to our attention, so that we have some choices to be able to, you know, protect our little ones. And our families, because we all know they bring them home.
Right. Good point. I feel like RSV is most commonly associated with the little ones, but adults can get RSV too, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the interesting thing is not only, you know, these respiratory, you've probably heard of, you know, hand, foot, and mouth disease, where they get the breakout of the rash on their faces and everything. And when I was at the university, we actually had some of those outbreaks in, you know, young adults. And so those things that our kids typically get can come home to us as well.
Gosh. I know there's been a lot of discussion and debate about masks. Can masks help you as an individual when it comes to these three sicknesses? Or is it really a group effort that's needed if there's going to be any, you know, benefit to wearing a mask?
No, obviously, if there's something in front of your nose and your mouth, you know, it protects you. It protects you for a lot of reasons. One is that if you happen to be ill, you know, it's going to protect you from, you know, coughing on somebody else. If you are trying to protect yourself, there's a barrier there. Obviously, depending upon the mask, some have a what they call a higher protection factor than others. But there's still a barrier in front of your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. And it helps you from touching your nose and, you know, it's in mouth. It's one of those things that we do this all the time and we don't even realize, you know, it's just a natural, you know, you rub your eye or you rub your nose, just something that we naturally do.
So if you were somebody who was really concerned about getting sick this flu season or, you know, during the winter months, it wouldn't be a bad idea to get a mask, especially one of those, you know, N95s or one of the better quality ones.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned you have a little one. I'm having my son in Texas is having his first child here in the next month, and we're going to be visiting. And so I can guarantee you that over the next month here, before I go down there, I am going to be very close, you know, paying close attention to my interactions, and I'll be wearing my mask much more often than I have in the past here the last several months.
Yeah, I hear you. That makes sense. Any other advice you have for folks who are just trying to prevent getting sick? I know you mentioned the hand hygiene that people have kind of taken a step back on. Anything else folks should be doing around the house or when they're out and about to try and stay healthy?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, you know, indoor air quality is something that we really need to pay close attention. And obviously, if we're paying attention to those air changes and the filters that are in our house or our businesses, it does have a protection factor for especially airborne type viruses, as well as molds and allergens. The other part of that is, you know, go get vaccinated. You know, it really is a protection. It may not, you know, like with the COVID vaccine, we realize that it may not protect you from getting ill, but it does protect, no doubt, on serious illness and death. And, you know, the other part is just pay attention to, like you said, hand hygiene. You know, how many of us, man, we'd go into a store, we'd be hand hygiening every time we come out. It's time to do that again as we're heading into this flu season and COVID and RSV.
You mentioned the importance of getting those vaccines. Is there anything for RSV or is RSV just one that's...
No, right now there is not a vaccine available. There is, from what I understand, there are two vaccines that are currently in late stage development. And so we'll keep our fingers crossed. Hopefully they can figure out how to get it into one vaccine for all three, maybe.
I was about to say, I know that's definitely a concern for folks. And I don't know if you'll have an answer to this one, but I'm always curious about the professional advice when it comes to actually feeling symptoms and getting sick. When do you tell people to seek medical help and, you know, not just sit home?
Oh, that's really good. You know, I mean, it's one of those things that know yourself and, you know, hopefully you've established with a physician or a, you know, your primary care physician. If you are at a, in a at-risk group, don't wait. At least give your physician a call. And nowadays, a lot of them are on the electronic where you can send emails and you can call the office very quickly. And when you start having that temperature, you know, going up, it's knowing and paying attention to how you're feeling. You know, the upper respiratory, that could go very quickly if you're starting to have problems with, you know, feeling in your chest and, you know, just call the doctor. They will help you through that decision-making process.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the respiratory. I know that's the scary symptom for a lot of folks. Mm. And you could probably experience that with COVID, flu, and RSV, right?
All three of them.
Oof, man. Anything that sticks out about the about RSV that you wouldn't, you just simply wouldn't have with COVID and flu, or anything about the flu that you'd say, well, you definitely have the flu, not RSV and COVID. Is it, you see what I'm saying there? Anything that differentiates the three?
You know, I think that that's a concern. And for most people, the answer would be it's going to be very difficult for you to determine which one is what. Mm-hmm. And then again, call your doctor. You know, now we have the ability to do the COVID test at home, which is one of the things that potentially will, I'll say potentially, because sometimes you will have COVID and you don't test positive for a few days. But again, you know, call your doctor, let them know what your symptoms are, and they can help you through that decision.
And specifically with the little ones, do you think that's also a case where, you know, if it's a sickness that just seems to be lasting more than normal, you should call the doctor rather than saying, oh, let's let them wait it out?
Oh, yeah. Especially with those little ones, because those little ones, you know, their immunity system is just now being developed, as we know. The other part of that is that, you know, it doesn't just sort of with the little ones and with the elderly, you know, it can take just a few minutes, you know, moments of time from going from they seem to be okay to, oh, we have an issue. Mm. So, yeah, let's get them in as soon as we can.
That's great advice there. Patty, anything else you'd like to add before we let you go?
Well, it's one of those things that, as you know, I know that this is kind of uncharted territory. It really is. Where, you know, we haven't experienced this, what we call triple-demic or potential of triple-demic in the past, because we've been so sequestered, you know, we've been paying really close attention to how we protect ourselves and others. And this is going to be with us for a while. And, you know, and it may never be not part of our lives going forward. I hate to say that, but it is something that we need to pay very close attention to and protect ourselves, our families, and our communities.
That's an important message there. Patty Olinger, Executive Director of the Global BioRisk Advisory Council. Congrats on the grandbaby that's on the way. And thank you for the time. We appreciate it, Patty.
All right. You have a great day.
Okay. You too. WBTV's Good Question is a product of WBTV in cooperation with Queen City Podcast Network and Balto Creative Media. From WBTV, Good Question is produced by Jack Vandertal. Special thanks to Jamie Bowl. For the Queen City Podcast Network, WBTV's Good Question is produced by Brian Baltashevitz and Maria Delgado. Production coordinator, Taylor Robinson. It is recorded at the Queen City Podcast Network studios in Uptown Charlotte.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.